so drivers can see coverage options at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering in-studio and on-location senior pictures, family portraits, professional headshots, and more. Serving Lawrence and surrounding areas since 2004. Information and portfolio at tcistudio.com.
It's 36 degrees in Lawrence, 42 in Manhattan. The time is 6:06.
This year, it provided food for more than 5,700 families. You can hear more stories focused on service, community, and giving back year-round at npr.org/here to help. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Coming up in our next half-hour news headlines, then we will find out more about Afghan immigration. The alleged D.C. shooter was vetted to come into the United States, granted asylum not too long ago. What it all means as we examine Afghan immigration. We will also talk about eating turkey abroad. Are Americans the only ones who eat a ton of turkey? Find out. And we will visit the Jiffy company, actually the milling company, Chelsea Milling, that makes Jiffy muffins. And we'll get a quick update on the science news of the week with the shortwave news roundup. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market in North Lawrence, hosting Holiday Market Saturday, November 29th, with art and craft vendors, fresh cut Fraser firs, poinsettias, and Santa. Details at pinesgardenmarket.com.
Quick reminder that following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR 1 stations, we have Classics Live. If you're joining us on KPR 2, stay tuned for Prairie Journal.
Support for KPR comes from KU School of Music, presenting the 101st Vespers. The seasonal music tradition returns December 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Lead Center. Tickets at lead.ku.edu.
Mostly clear skies this evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. There's a 90% chance of rain tomorrow night with a low in the upper 30s. 90% chance of rain and snow on Saturday. Little or no accumulation expected.
Support for NPR.
The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. He's among the few with a say on interest rates, and we ask him where he thinks the economy is headed.
On the labor market side, I see still pretty steady. Our problem is bigger when it comes to inflation.
That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us first thing tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. A. Martinez and Matthew Algio will get you caught up on all the news.
Support for KPR comes from the Lecompton Historical Society's Christmas Through the Ages. Over 200 Christmas trees with vintage and antique ornaments at the Territorial Capital Museum now till January 4th. Details at LecomptonKansas.com.
Stay tuned. News from NPR, and we'll get you some local news headlines as well. It is 36 degrees in Lawrence. It is 30 in Atchison. It's 6:30.
House on Wednesday has died. President Trump spoke about 20-year-old Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom, who passed away tonight from her injuries.
One of the guardsmen that we're talking about, highly respected, young, magnificent person, started service in June of 2023, outstanding in every way. She's just passed away.
The second victim, 24-year-old Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, remains in critical condition after undergoing surgery yesterday. The CIA says the suspect, an Afghan national, had worked with the U.S. government as a member of a partner force in Kandahar that ended after the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan. A Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge is heading to trial in mid-December. Hannah Dugan is accused of allegedly helping an immigrant who was in the country illegally evade federal immigration.
Number of witnesses and admission of evidence. Dugan faces up to 6 years in prison if she's convicted on both counts. For NPR News, I'm Ayan Silver in Milwaukee.
This is NPR News in Washington.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. U.S. Senator Jerry Moran is warning against rewarding Russian President Vladimir Putin in negotiations to end the war in Ukraine. Russia launched its full-scale invasion of its neighbor in 2022. In a statement released this week, Moran said, quote, "Lasting peace will be achieved when the costs of continuing the war in Ukraine are unsustainable for Russia, not by acceding to Vladimir Putin's demands." Negotiations to end the war are currently underway. The Trump administration changed a broadband grant program, and that will mean weaker internet infrastructure for Kansas. Kansas was awarded $451 million under the Biden administration. Under Trump, the new goal of the money was to find the best deal available rather than the best value. Eric Sartorius is with the Communications Coalition of Kansas. He says the change will mean less investment in high-speed internet projects than can last for decades. Instead, it will mean investment in decent speed internet projects that will only last for years.
As you see in your own life and in road building or anything else, cheap does not generally equal the best solution.
Kansas submitted its grant proposal in November. A federal grand jury has indicted a farmer from western Kansas on multiple counts of fraud. The indictment accuses David Mongo, age 54, of Holcomb, of falsely filing a crop loss insurance claim. The claim was paid, yet the farmer allegedly sold thousands of bushels of wheat that had supposedly been ruined. KSN reports Mongo was indicted on 2 counts of making a false statement and 17 counts of bank fraud or attempted bank fraud. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, mostly clear this evening, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. For Friday, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-40s, a 90% chance of rain Friday night with lows in the upper 30s. Rain on Saturday with a 90% chance of mixed rain and snow in the afternoon with little or no accumulation expected. We'll see highs in the lower 40s with temperatures dropping throughout the day. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from
Holmes says they use it every day.
This is 1940s equipment.
Why do you keep the old machines around?
Why do we? We still use them.
An ethos as quaint as that old-fashioned Jiffy packaging. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Coming up on Prairie Journal, the new Netflix series Death by Lightning tells the story of President Garfield's assassination. We'll hear from the Kansas City author who brought the story to life.
It was the combination, the lethal combination, as we know, of arrogance and ignorance that absolutely led to Garfield's death.
I'm Kate McIntyre. Join me for a conversation with award-winning author Candace Millard on Prairie Journal, 11 o'clock Sunday morning on Kansas Public Radio.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's in downtown Lawrence, featuring Final Fridays in the Maselli's Lounge with the Jazz Cigarettes for a night of music and cocktails. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. November 28th. Tickets at masellisonline.com.
Thanks so much for spending part of your Thanksgiving night with us. We are closing in on 7 o'clock. Coming up, if
you're joining us on KPR One stations, we have Classics Live, a little violin and piano music coming up tonight. If you're joining us on KPR Two, Prairie Journal is what's up next.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Mostly clear skies for the next couple of hours, becoming partly cloudy overnight, lows in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. 90% chance of rain tomorrow night with lows in the upper 30s. Wintry precipitation is expected on Saturday. It's 36 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station. And from Fidelity Investments, a dedicated advisor can help build a comprehensive wealth plan. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. From the NPR Wine Club, now shipping to additional states. Whether purchasing a few wines or joining the wine club, every purchase supports NPR. Available to adults 21 or older. NPRWineClub.org. And from Focus Features, presenting Hamnet, a story of love and loss that inspired the creation of Shakespeare's Hamlet, directed by Chloe Zhao, now playing in select theaters everywhere December 5th. This is NPR.
The Federal Reserve is voting on interest rates in a few weeks. We speak with one of the few economists who gets a say. That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. Morning Edition is what you will hear. A. Martinez and Matthew Algio will get you caught up on all the news from overnight.
Support for KPR comes from Bridgehaven in Lawrence, providing family-style memory care in a home environment and 24-hour nursing care on-site. More information is at mybridgehaven.com.
We're live, we are local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Trinity Lutheran Church, presenting a community sing-along featuring songs to welcome in the Christmas season. Also accepting food donations for community food pantries. December 7th, 7 p.m. More at tlclawrence.org.
Up next, it's Classics Live. Follow by repeat broadcasts of what you heard a little bit earlier today, some of our special programming for Thanksgiving. Then at 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night. Mostly clear this evening, partly cloudy overnight, lows in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. There's a 90% chance of rain tomorrow night with a low in the upper 30s. It's 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown with you here in the audience of the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College. Here are two fine musicians from Kansas City, violinist Tomoko Iguchi and pianist Karen Savage. Let's hear them bring Maurice Ravel's Sonata for Violin and Piano to life. Written in the mid-1920s, Ravel was inspired here by American jazz and blues.
Thank you.
Tomoko Oguchi and Karen Savage playing Ravel's violin and piano sonata. Next, Bartok, Béla Bartok's Romanian folk dances.
Thank you.
by Hungarian composer Béla Bartók, the rustic and gypsy-flavored Romanian folk dances, played just now by Tomoko Iguchi, Karen Savage, violin and piano. Now Tomoko is picking up her viola for Johannes Brahms, Opus 120, the second sonata for viola and piano.
Thank you. Thank you.
Johannes Brahms originally had the clarinet in mind when he came out of his recent retirement to write two clarinet sonatas. But as we just heard, it works beautifully with the somewhat the same register on the viola, usually known as a violinist. That was string player Tomoko Iguchi with music partner Karen Savage at the piano. Born in Tokyo, Tomoko Iguchi started the violin at 7 and came to the United States to play in the New World Symphony in Miami Beach. After touring the world with them, she joined the Kansas City Symphony in 1995. Another area group for her is the New Era Contemporary Music Ensemble. Karen Savage is a Juilliard-educated pianist who's on the faculty of UMKC's Conservatory of Music. She and her husband, Jeff Savage, also perform and record as a piano duo. Thanks to these two accomplished performers for sharing their playing together at this Doreen Marande Professional Recital Series here at Johnson County Community College. And thanks to Chuck Smith, one of KPR's sound engineers, for recording the concert for Classics Live. I'm your Classics Live producer, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
you.
Another KPR recording we made of the Opus 76 string quartet, playing the first movement of Beethoven's 10th quartet, nicknamed the Harp. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Check out our Classics Live website at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Andrew Sherwood, Ph.D., Jungian analyst, helping clients explore life's questions of purpose and meaning through the analytical psychology of Carl Jung and the process of individuation. Details at workingwithdreams.com. And from the Lead Center, presenting A Christmas Story, the musical, based on the iconic 1983 holiday movie, Tuesday, December 9th, 7 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu. We're KPR from KU, that's KANU and KANUHD1, Lawrence, KANH and KANHHD1, Emporia, KANV and KANVHD1, Olsburg, Junction City, and KANQ, Chanute.
Cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you, and to give thanks continuously. And because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote those words, and during this season of togetherness and thankfulness, what are you most grateful for? Perhaps the gift of music is on your list. I'm Andrea Blaine, and this is Every Good Thing, celebrating Thanksgiving with an hour of inspiring stories about the power of classical music from APM, American Public Media.
I'm Albert Dittus from Portland, Tennessee, and this is my classical story. During the past several years, I have earned part of my living by playing organ and piano for churches on Sunday mornings. One day, I found myself in a Lutheran church in nearby Gallatin, Tennessee, and chose to play Prelude and C by Bach since I knew the congregation liked German church music. I had just barely started it when I noticed the deacons had finished taking up the collections from the small congregation. Now, I generally time my offertories to end when all plates are passed and can abbreviate, but this piece I could not stop. The longer I played, the more uneasy I felt. The people are probably getting jittery, and I'm cutting into the pastor's sermon time. But I finished, and the service went on as usual. At the end, several people came to me and said how much they loved hearing Bach on that harpsichord. One man said he would just as soon not play the harpsichord the entire service, and even the pastor said how much he appreciated it. What a relief. And looking back, I've decided that you can't go wrong with Bach.
I'm Jean Johnson from Hilliard, Ohio, and this is my classical story. I was a classical soprano soloist in New York and recently divorced when I discovered a former high school classmate on a mutual friend's Facebook page. He had played violin in high school, and we both sang in the chorus. However, because I was short and he was tall, I was on the bottom of the risers and he on the top, so we never connected. When I reached out to say hello and ask if he was still playing the violin, I discovered he lived in Ohio. He was playing violin with the Columbus Symphony, and he was also divorced. After an 8-month-long distance relationship, after my youngest left for college, I moved to Ohio to see how the relationship would progress. We've now been married for almost 5 years. I attend his concerts and sometimes sing with the community orchestra he conducts in Columbus, too.
I'm Brent Borchert from Windsor Heights, Iowa, and this is my classical story. My mother had been in a nursing home for 2 years after a stroke left her a shadow of her former self. Once it became apparent that she had entered her final days, I took a leave from work to spend time with her. My mother and I spent many quiet hours together in her room with classical music playing on public radio. One day, the Blue Danube Waltz by Johann Strauss began playing. As she lay in her bed with her eyes closed, I noticed her feet began to wiggle, side to side, in time to the music. She was fully engaged with the music and remained so until the end of the piece. It's a testament to the power of classical music that, buried deep inside the recesses of a brain badly damaged by stroke and at the end of life, a timeless tune like the Blue Danube Waltz can bring comfort and joy. Every time I hear it now, time stops for me just a little bit.
I'm Adriana Macias from Waco, Texas, and this is my classical story. When I turned 5, my father began teaching me piano. I didn't realize it then, but my father's grandfather, Antonio Gomez Anda, was a prolific late Romantic composer and music teacher in Mexico City. Whenever my grandmother visited, Gomez Anda's youngest daughter, Yolanda, she'd tell me about her childhood, growing up with talented musicians in the house, a prodigy sister, having 4 pianos in the house, and hosting concerts in her home for musicians. Now, as a piano teacher, music entertainer, and composer myself, every time I play on my great-grandfather's piano, here in my home, I relive the music he used to make. I even teach it to my young pupils on the piano. When I hear Gomez Anda's compositions, specifically Lagos, Third Movement, Interior, I can imagine the romantic life he spent studying music in Berlin falling deeply in love with this cellist pupil, my great-grandmother, and integrating his love of music into the music every step of the way. I feel so proud and lucky to be a part of this legacy.
Happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to Every Good Thing from American Public Media. We've heard stories from Albert and Jean and Brent, all grateful for the way that classical music has enriched their lives. And what about Adriana's story there about discovering that her great-grandfather was a prolific composer? It's also wonderful to hear how a love of classical music can be passed down through generations, like this story from Suzanne.
My German grandmother, Oma Maria, shared many secrets rooted in family traditions. Our family essence combines a love of classical music with drama and humor, which manifests as Christmas carol processions and puppet shows around the family dinner table. As kinkeeper now, it's my goal to share Oma's secrets and keep this spirited essence alive. One memory that still strikes a chord is when Great Uncle Hans, a concert pianist from Germany, joined our amateur dinner theater as a featured guest. For the occasion, Oma rented a Steinway grand piano. As he played Beethoven on that grand instrument in the crowded dining room, I was transformed by the sound of classical music and fell in love.
Now in retirement, because of my mother's encouragement, I joyfully take piano lessons on a grand piano of my own. Someday, I hope to play Beethoven like Great Uncle Hans and resurrect Oma's traditions for the next generation. It may be family legend, but the best kept of Oma's secrets? Well, we're related to Beethoven, of course. I'm Suzanne Scafidi Worrell from Heartland, Wisconsin, and that was my classical story.
I'm Tom Troutman from Plymouth, Minnesota, and this is my classical story. It was the spring of 1971, my sophomore year at North Park College in Chicago. Our choir, along with those from Northwestern University and the Chicago Symphony, were rehearsing Mahler's Eighth, the Symphony of a Thousand. Over several days, Margaret Hillis and then George Stolte himself came to our campus to lead us through this monumental work. The whole piece is wonderful, but I'll never forget the thrill of the triumphant ending. several hundred voices in the Chicago Symphony, with its famous brass section coming together at full volume. Then an organ joined in and the whole stage was shaking as the text invited us to lift our eyes towards the splendors of heaven. That was when I fully experienced the sublime power of classical music.
What an exciting ending there to Mahler's great Symphony No. 8, the Symphony of a Thousand. And how exciting for Tom as a college student being part of that performance, which included some of his musical idols. I'm so glad that he shared that story with us. If you have a story about why classical music is important in your life, you can share it at yourclassical.org. I'm Andrea Blaine. I remember meeting one of my classical music idols when I was just a teenager. I was on a young conductor's course run by our local symphony orchestra, and Aaron Copland came to conduct some of his works for a summer concert. We were allowed to watch him rehearse the orchestra, and he came to talk to the class, too. It was so thrilling to see this iconic composer at work. Whenever I hear Copland's music, I remember that time years ago and how special it was, and how grateful I am for that experience. In just a minute, more stories sharing gratitude for that most important gift, classical music, to celebrate this season of thanks and togetherness. This is Every Good Thing from APM, American Public Media.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, as well as online at kansaspublicradio.org. You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Every Good Thing from American Public Media. You know, creating a legacy in public radio is as easy as adding KPR to your will and becoming a member of the Dick Wright Legacy Society. A bequest can help ensure our on-air service continues for years to come. For more information, visit legacy.kansaspublicradio.org. You should have partly cloudy skies tonight, lows in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high of about 43, rain likely for Friday night. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
This is Every Good Thing, stories and music to celebrate a season of grace and gratitude from APM, American Public Media. Thanks for listening and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Andrea Blaine. We've heard from Suzanne and Tom, Jean, Brent, and others too, all devoted music lovers and all listeners who at some point in their lives realized just how grateful they are for music. What about you? What's your reason for loving classical music? Share your story online at yourclassical.org. Music has terrific power to inspire and motivate, as well as calm and soothe. How do you listen? And when did you start appreciating the music that you love? Here's a story about someone who discovered her love of classical music and a way to enjoy that music at the same time.
I'm Julia Redcheck from Newtown, Connecticut, and this is my classical story. I grew up as a ballet dancer, so classical music has always been a part of my life, but never once outside of the studio or the stage until I began high school. During my first study hall as a freshman, I stumbled upon the NPR app and realized I could tune into tons of stations from around the country. I selected Minnesota Public Radio, despite having no connections to that area, and I was immediately hooked. The first piece I heard was the overture to the ballet Le Corsaire. While this piece itself is quite short, it really helps build anticipation for what's to follow in the rest of the score. I love hearing the mix of ferocity and sweetness coupled throughout Le Corsaire, and I think this overture displays that perfectly. It's been about 10 years since I first heard that piece, and my love for this music has only grown. I don't know anyone else my age who listens to more Beethoven or Debussy than Taylor Swift, but I couldn't imagine my life without classical music in it.
I'm Jude Foxhall from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and this is my classical story. As a teen in the late 1940s, I discovered a 45 RPM record titled Spike Jonze Kids the Classics. Listening intently through the clatter of cowbells, ahuga horns, and kazoos, I heard Rossini, Liszt, and Bach. This sent me to the library, where I listened to real symphonic music and began a lifelong love for the classics. So hats off to those mentioned above and all composers, but a special thanks to Spike and the boys for starting me on this journey.
I'm Sarah Entenmann from Northfield, Minnesota, and this is my classical story. I had a privileged but tough childhood. My mother drank a lot. A lot. But she also listened to classical music on the radio all the time. That made things a bit easier. On my 13th birthday, my parents gave me my first record, Arthur Rubinstein playing Edvard Grieg's Piano Concerto, the only one he ever wrote. Recently, I had my 70th birthday, and I am still in love with this life-changing music. It continues to take me to a place of peace and serenity and is constantly a gift to my ears, especially the achingly poetic high notes. Classical radio is also an ongoing gift, especially because, unlike during my childhood, it is presented oh so fabulously by women as well as men.
You're listening to Every Good Thing from American Public Media. I love Sarah's story there about music being a source of calm and serenity for her, even in tough times. And her praise of women's voices presenting classical music is certainly music to my ears. Thanks for that, Sarah. I remember when I first began thinking about working in classical music radio. I was part of a string quartet in Northern Ireland playing music that mixed classical and Irish traditional elements. We performed to our biggest audience in London for an organization called Corrymeela that worked to bring the various sides of the Northern Irish conflict together. The idea of two different kinds of music meeting in harmony chimed with efforts to resolve differences. The rest of the quartet decided that I would have to be the one to talk to the audience about our music, and a presenter was born.
I'm Dean Simonton from Davis, California, and this is my classical story. My first year roommate in college loved classical music and would listen to it in our dorm room while I was studying. Prior to starting college, my chief musical experiences involved rock and jazz. So I consented to his classical, with a proviso that the volume be kept low enough so as not to disturb my own studies. This compromise went on for a little while, until he played some composition unknown to me, which gradually started to attract my attention. Unexpectedly, the music became very quiet. I pleaded with my roommate to quickly turn up the volume. The mysterious beat of the timpani was soon joined by the ominous sound of the strings, picking up pace until a triumphal fanfare broke the dark mood to produce the most exhilarating music I had ever heard in my life. Thus it was the final movement, not the first movement, of Beethoven's Fifth with its famous da-da-da-da, but the final movement that truly introduced me to the wonders of classical music.
Thank you. I'm Michael Gleason from Bangor, Maine, and this is my classical story. As a baby boomer, I attended public schools in the mid-50s and 60s. In the height of the Cold War, each of my schools was equipped with blackout shades on the windows. Walking into the art classroom in high school, if those shades were down, we knew it was an interpretive day. Our teacher would tell us to choose our medium and take our seats. The lights would go out and he would play a piece of classical music, telling us to paint what we heard in the near total darkness. When the music had ended and the lights went back on, I looked at my creation. Using pieces of cardboard instead of a brush and poster paints on a piece of gray poster board, I had created a huge dark fortress wall looming above me with a massive entrance. It was only after the creations were done that we were told that the classical piece that day was The Great Gate of Kiev by Modest Mussorgsky. I had been exposed to classical music through my mother for most of my life, but it was that day that my affinity for classical music was cast in stone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Every Good Thing, a program filled with stories of grace, gratitude, and glorious music from listeners and lovers of classical music. Happy Thanksgiving! And whether you celebrate with traditional turkey and all the trimmings or something else entirely, I hope classical music is part of your day. If you'd like to share your story about what classical music means to you or why you're grateful to have music in your life, go to yourclassical.org. Many thanks to the producer of this program, Dan Nass, and to technical supervisor Cameron Wiley. I'm Andrea Blaine. Thanks so much for listening, and have a very happy Thanksgiving. Every Good Thing is a production of APM, American Public Media.
Support for Every Good Thing on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store sponsoring the Vinyl Vault Hour on Jazz in the Night. Store details and buying policies at lovegardensounds.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU in KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at KPR. Stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Jazz, Tom Parkinson in tonight for Bob McWilliams. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Dale Willman. On a Thanksgiving Day call with six military units, President Trump announced one of the two West Virginia National Guard members shot in Washington, D.C. has died. NPR's Sage Miller is traveling with Trump and was in the room at Mar-a-Lago in Florida when Trump relayed the news.
Trump called Guardswoman Sarah Beckstrom a highly respected, young, magnificent person.
She was savagely attacked. She's dead. She's not with us. Incredible person. Outstanding in every single way, in every department.
20-year-old Beckstrom volunteered to be on duty for Thanksgiving. She was on patrol a few blocks from the White House when a gunman opened fire. The gunman struck Beckstrom and 24-year-old Guardsman Andrew Wolf. Trump says Wolf remains in critical condition and is fighting for his life. Trump also says that he spoke with Beckstrom's family following the loss of their loved one. From Palm Beach, Florida, Sage Miller, NPR News.
Pope Leo met with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan today on the first foreign trip of his papacy. As NPR's Ruth Sherlock reports, the first American pope pressed Turkey to do more to protect religious minorities.
In his speech made alongside President Erdogan in a large library in Ankara, Pope Leo said Turkey's grand Ottoman past is both a gift and a responsibility.
You have an important place in both the present and future of the Mediterranean and of the whole world.
Pope Leo warned that sidelining religious minorities, such as its Christian population, would be an impoverishment. Society is alive if it has a plurality, he said. For what makes a civil society are the bridges that link its people together. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News, Ankara.
The National Retail Federation is predicting that holiday sales this year will surpass $1 trillion for the first time ever. Chief Economist Mark Matthews says that growth does not factor in some high prices because of tariffs, but he says it's mostly because Americans are in a shopping mood. As for holiday hiring, though, he says they're seeing fewer job postings.
We forecast that holiday hiring would be about 265 to 365,000 this year. That's the lowest that we've seen in the last 15 years. So definitely some softness there.
A 6.0 magnitude earthquake hit the Anchorage, Alaska area this morning. It was the largest earthquake to hit south central Alaska since 2021. The quake was located at a depth of 43 miles. Deeper quakes tend to be less damaging. Alaska is the most earthquake-prone state in the U.S. It's not Thanksgiving without football. Dak Prescott threw for two touchdowns, and Malik Davis ran 43 yards for a score as the Dallas Cowboys beat Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs 31-28. Green Bay beat Detroit 31-24. This is NPR News. A U.S.-Russian crew has started a mission on the International Space Station following a successful launch. The rocket lifted off today from Kazakhstan. As NPR's Nell Greenfield Boyce reports, they arrived in time for a festive holiday meal.
Thanksgiving in space has long meant pouches of freeze-dried, irradiated, and thermostabilized foods, everything from smoked turkey to yams. But this fall, on a resupply mission, NASA workers sent up some extra treats. In a video, astronaut Zena Cardman showed off a bag full of packaged items like crab meat and salmon.
We've even got some lobster, which is amazing. So I think it's going to be a really, really delicious meal, and I can't wait to share it with everyone, including our new crewmates.
NASA says that Thanksgiving is an off-duty day for the crew, so they can relax and talk with family members on the ground. Nell Greenfield Boyce, NPR News.
In a blow to environmentalists, Canada's premier today signed a memorandum of understanding with the premier of Alberta to work toward building an oil pipeline. The pipeline would transport oil from Alberta to the country's Pacific coast. Prime Minister Mark Carney says he wants to double Canada's non-U.S. oil exports over the next decade. Lake effect snow has been pounding the Great Lakes region this week. One location in Wisconsin has reported 33 inches of powder since yesterday. The Upper Peninsula of Michigan has also turned shades of white with more than 15 inches in Marquette. A new storm system is also expected to reach the area this weekend and bringing along more snow. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to Kansas Public Radio's All Night Jazz. I'm Tom Parkinson. Good to have you along with us for an hour of jazz music. We keep it going all night long for you here on KPR. We're going to start out with something from guitarist Charlie Epicella. Charlie Epicella and Iron City with Gene Gee on tenor saxophone. Freddie Hendrix is the trumpet man. We've got Radom Schwartz on the Hammond organ here and Alan Curzon on drums. Myra Casales on congas. This is one written by Lou Donaldson. It's called Hot Dog on Kansas Public Radio's All Night Jazz. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.